You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Second hour is live. Let's continue. Phil is in North Carolina. Hello, Phil.
What's going on, Mr. Feinbaum?
Phil, we are doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Listen, I got a couple of things. I know the Kentucky deal is a big uproar right now. But I've heard in the past, talking about NIL and college sports in general, you know, the amateurism is gone. I don't consider them to be amateur anymore. And I also noticed you said a couple of times the same thing. My question is if we're going down that road, which we are they considering any rule changes in as far as on the field? Example, defensive pass interference, spot foul, hash marks, closer. You know, kickoff and also the point after attempts. Have you heard anything?
No, I have not. I mean, most of the rule changes involve safety, but I have not heard anything along those lines. And your point is correct. Frankly, the age of amateurism has been over for a very long time. Let's not act like this has been in effect for a year. Hey, thank you very much for your call. It's good to hear from you. Mike is up next in Florida. Hey, Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, folks. Got a little history thing for you involving Gators. In 1962 Gator Bowl, they beat Penn State, and it was the only time they wore a Confederate battle flag on their helmets.
Oh, really?
I was asking you what you heard about that.
I'm unaware of that, but Jackson in Missouri is up next. Hey, Jackson.
How are you, Paul?
Well, Jackson, thank you. Well,
I just wanted to talk about Missouri. I don't know your opinions too much on them. I haven't been able to listen to the show as frequently as I wish. But going into the year, I know that Missouri is kind of slept on, in my opinion. I think they have a revitalized defense with a new DC. Obviously, we need this one to work out because it's our third DC in 3 years. I just wanted your opinion on the team this year, and if you think that maybe they are being slept on, or do you think that they'll be a bottom dweller this season?
I mean, I'm torn here to give you a good answer because I'm a huge fan of Coach Strink, and I think given time, he will prove to be a really good coach. Now, time isn't a luxury in the SEC, but I think improvement is happening this year. He's recruited really well. You know that. And that's the key. We know he can coach. We saw what he did a couple of years ago at App State. And his track record is quite strong. And I think he's on the verge of it. And I frankly think, you know, some of his misfortunes early on let me give you an example. He lost to Tennessee a couple years ago to Jeremy Pruitt. Nobody should count that as a loss anymore, knowing what Jeremy Pruitt and his staff did. That should never count. I mean, that's disgraceful to think about the methods that were used in recruiting at Tennessee and some of those wins. So I think he is very close to turning the corner, and I hope he can do it quickly. Thank you for the call. Cameron is in Arizona. Hello, Cameron.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Okay. Great to hear from you.
I'm doing good. I just can't take the delusional Kentucky fans. I don't know why they think that they are a storied basketball program, but they haven't won anything in 10 years. They can't even make it to the second weekend. And in football, they act like they're a big football school, and like a great season for them. It's like an 8-4 season. I just can't take it with the Kentucky fans. They think they're like a great school like Michigan that has a great football and basketball program right now, but they're not.
Well, I'm glad you chimed in with us. Thanks for the vote of confidence. Justin is in Arkansas. Hey, Justin, go right ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? Happy Tuesday to you. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thank you.
Hey, I'm feeling great, too, because it's great to be a Razorback fan right now. We're doing great. I had a question for you about the wide receivers and everything that's going on. I've been hearing a lot of good things coming out of camp with them, and I wanted your take on them. How do you feel they'll do if they have a better wide receiver room than they had maybe been last year?
Well, I think in some ways they will be better. Now, they lost pretty significant. There were some significant losses last year. But I hope you saw our conversation earlier with K.J. Jefferson. He's a very confident guy, and he knows what he has around him. And I think it's just up to him to utilize that. You know Arkansas is going to be fundamentally sound and all the cliches that start with a Sam Pittman team, but it's true. And with some difference makers, I think they have a chance to still worried about the schedule, but at some point you have to overcome that, even in the SEC. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's move along and talk to Drew in Kentucky. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Paul. Just wanted to make a statement on the culture shift in Lexington with us becoming a football school. It's a totally relevant thing. I think Coach Cal is scared that he's going to be left behind as far as recruiting wins, because we automatically know we should be at least a Final Four every year in basketball. When's the last time anybody has ever said Kentucky finished second in the SEC East in football? And that's only happened in recent years. We as a fan base have been waiting on this for 30 years. I'm 38 years old. And just recently has it become so prevalent in the town, it's tangible. You can feel it. We
agree. I think that we have a couple of conflicting issues going on in Kentucky. Whether labels aren't the key right now, it's where things are going. And you know, Stoops has done this the hard way. And I think that's really what I thought. The one comment that he made Saturday that really stuck with me was this program wasn't born on third base. I mean, that's a body blow to Calipari. And what's surprising to me is that we are now on Tuesday, and I know schedules can be complex. You never know where a president is. You never know where an athletic director or coach is. Obviously, Cal was in the Bahamas. But the fact that it's almost midweek, and this started happening late last week, and they still haven't figured it out, is really troubling. This is something that should have been corrected the second it could be, and ultimately there are a lot of parties in Lexington who are getting L's for this assignment. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Vinny in New York.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Hey, Vinny.
Hi. Aside from the Alabama A&M game, what would you say is one of your favorite would be must-watch games early in the season?
Well,
thank you and God bless you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, I think there are a couple of things. I think the Arkansas game the first weekend is really interesting, and the Georgia game. Those are two games I'm watching closely. The second weekend, I don't think it's going to be a great game, but I think it will be a great atmosphere, and that's Alabama at Texas. We had a young reporter on from Vanderbilt, and I know this sounds crazy because we don't talk about Vanderbilt very often, but should Vanderbilt get past Hawaii, and I think they will, that Vanderbilt-Wake Forest game has a chance to be a big moment for Vanderbilt. I'm not suggesting you fly across the country to go see it, okay? I'm just making a comment. I think Auburn-Penn State's a critically important game early in the season to watch. Right. And then I think the next week it's Florida-Tennessee. It's a chance for Tennessee after the Pittsburgh game, which is critical for them. If they can get the win there to punctuate a great start to a season with a win over Tennessee, a win over Florida, which has been in history books one of the more important SEC rivalries, and lately it's been a rout.
Where are you leaning on the LSU Gator, a Florida State matchup?
You said LSU Florida?
LSU Florida State.
I really like LSU in that game. I think it's I just haven't seen enough from Florida State to convince me that they have it together. Vinny, you be good. Take care of yourself. We're up against the break here. We are off and running here on a Tuesday afternoon. It's been a busy one already. And we'll talk to another college reporter. She's also a soccer star, which we can't wait to talk as we head to Columbia in just a minute.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Heading to Columbia, South Carolina. This is going to be really interesting. Our student journalist is not just your garden variety sports broadcaster or sports writer. She is all that, but she's also a star soccer player growing up across the state line from South Carolina and North Carolina, and now one of the top defenders in college soccer and also a reporter and writer in Columbia. Cameron Dixon joins us. Cam, thank you very much. Let's talk about the reporting side in a minute. Let's start with your prowess at the game of soccer. Good afternoon, and tell us how you've been able to balance all of this in your rather young life.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you. I really appreciate you having me on. So it's been really cool. When I got to the University of South Carolina, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And shortly into my sophomore year, someone posted on Instagram to join the Daily Gamecock, and I knew I had a passion for writing. So I decided, hey, why not? COVID's going on. I don't really have a lot going on, just soccer and school. So I joined, and it was probably the best decision I've ever made. And from then on, just balancing that and soccer has been, it's been tricky at times, but as I've always said, if you love something, you make time for it. So that's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, Cam, I've seen a lot of issues in journalism throughout my career, conflicts of interest, but I guess the all-time conflict would be to cover yourself in a match, wouldn't it?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I'm not allowed to cover myself, but any time I can, I try and tell my coworkers like cool story ideas or certain things to cover for sure.
What's it like on the other side? Because now I realize soccer is a little different. But, various sports, they almost look at the media as being a group of people you don't want to let in. How are your teammates, how have they reacted to you doing both?
They think it's super cool. They've been so supportive the whole time, and they've always asking me questions, asking me what games I'm going to cover this week. And they're people that really do love the media. We get very good coverage here as a team, and we're thankful for all the media outlets and the media coverage we get here. So they've been super supportive the whole time, and I'm so thankful for them.
So you grew up near Raleigh, I believe, near where you have a lot of major universities across that state, and certainly a lot of tremendous interest in soccer. How did you end up crossing the line, more than just the line, by the way, heading over to Columbia?
Yeah, so during my recruiting process, of course, I looked all around North Carolina because they have so many good schools to offer. And then I knew I kind of wanted to stay in the South. I just love the South. It's where I was born and raised. And when I came to South Carolina, I instantly just fell in love with every aspect of it. Not only was the soccer program good, but the coaches were amazing. They're a husband and wife staff, which is super unique, and they truly are a mom and dad away from home. And then aside from soccer, they had so many majors. They fit me academically, and I just knew I was a really good fit here. And if I didn't play soccer here, I would still love my experience at South Carolina.
Yeah, people always wonder when athletes do what you've done, you know, where does it come from? But I read somewhere where your mom played college basketball. Am I assuming correctly that you got at least some of the right genes from her?
Yes, she played college basketball at SUNY Cortland up in New York. And both my parents grew up playing sports, and our household is so competitive. And I definitely got it from them.
So when you, I mean, every athlete has a different story about the competition, which helped shape them. When did it, how crazy was it growing up?
It was pretty crazy. I joined a very high level club team, North Carolina Courage Academy, around when I was 12, and I grew up in that club and of course progressed throughout the years there. And it was a very intense high level club. So I think that's what really shaped me into the player I am today. The training sessions were intense, competitive, and it really prepared me well for college soccer.
You know, Cam, it's so interesting. For years, I mean, almost 40 or 50 years for somebody my age, we've been hearing about soccer about to become the next sport in America. And it finally got here. And, you know, no one has to make a big deal about it anymore, because so many young people and even people your parents' age grew up around it, so you never really saw the battle that soccer had to fight. But I'm curious your thoughts on the intensity of not only soccer here but worldwide.
It's been great seeing that progression. I know when I was a little kid growing up in the early 2000s that soccer was really on the come up because of the 1999 World Cup team when they won. And so I've kind of seen like the interest like continue to grow over the years, and not only in the United States, but everywhere. And we've seen like all these women's games get sold out and just keeps happening over and over again. And it's just great that soccer is becoming popular and women's sports is being supported.
Cam, let's talk a little bit about the other side, and that's your career, your dual career, I should say, as a writer and as a member of the newspaper staff. What are some of the stories that you've covered, and what do you enjoy doing?
Okay, I don't know if I can choose a favorite sport. I really like men's soccer because it's very easy, and we have a very good men's program here. I've also covered some softball. Some women's basketball has been very fun because Dawn Staley and her team are amazing, national champions, as everyone knows. I've done some track. I've kind of been everywhere, and I want to continue to cover as many sports as I can here.
Let me get to the football program, because you know, it seems to me that Shane Beamer would be that quintessential coach that college students would wrap their arms around. He's got passion. He's a young guy. He's a son of a coach. What is the vibe on that campus toward Coach Beamer?
Oh, we love him. He's known as a player's coach. You can just tell the whole attitude and the atmosphere around Gamecock football, I feel like, has shifted. Players want to play for him. They want to play for each other. This is a school people want to be at just because of his positivity and his family vibe. I think that's kind of like infected the entire campus. And it's kind of like hard to say, but I feel like Gamecock football is something that people are excited about now, especially coming into this fall.
Cam, in terms of this season, everybody's got thoughts. We hear from, I would say, overzealous Gamecock fans who think that they can do everything, especially with that Georgia game early in the season. What do you think, as somebody who knows how difficult it is to win?
Yeah, I think it's always good to set big goals and try and upset teams like Georgia. And I think our team's fully capable of that. All our teams are capable of that, especially with the support we have here. And I like when fans get all excited about games like that. It really just like helps in the atmosphere and playing. There's no better feeling than knowing the stands are packed and everyone there supporting you.
So at some point pretty soon, you're going to have to leave this incredible college career behind. What are your plans?
I want to try and go pro, take my soccer career to the next level, do a little bit of that, And then I want to do some work in sports media field, sports journalism, try and work for a professional team, hopefully soccer. I like soccer a lot. And then eventually when I'm older, I'd like to get my PhD and return back to school and become a professor at a university. But I think I have a feeling I'll be circling back around to South Carolina to try and teach here again.
Well, Cam, we are all going to pull for you as you chase your dreams playing professional. And one day we'll be walking around campus, and after your pro career is over, we'll see Dr. Cam getting ready for class. Hey, thank you for being a part of the show. We wish you well and hope to meet you soon.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Cameron Dixon, really, you talk about impressive. It's hard to top that when it comes to what the college experience should be about. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And it has been a fairly quiet 90 minutes. I say that for a reason. It ain't quiet anymore. Legend is next.
Black Hat Mafia in the house. How you doing, brother?
Come on in, Legend.
Man, it's good to be back in the Feinbaum house on a Tuesday afternoon, baby. Woo! I love it, baby. Black Hat Mafia East Coast, baby. You know what time it is. Hey, Paul, I've been looking on your social media, and I have to ask you, dude, you don't do your social media, do you? Somebody else does that for you, right?
Now, Legend, if I told you the truth here, people would... we have a team here consisting primarily of Jamari and Danny, who assist me... in the social media.
I was wondering, though, because they so stubborn on social media. You're my consigliere of the Black Hat Mafia. I'm your godfather of the Black Hat Mafia.
Hey, let me say something. I used to tweet on my own until tweeting became hazardous to my career.
Hey, brother, I done been suspended 3 times. I called Nancy Pelosi the Wicked Witch of the West, and they suspended me for 6 months. And then I called, what's his name from Kentucky, a slow-witted turtle. They suspended me again. So I feel you, though. But I've been reading some of your social media, and as your godfather, I just want you to know that Matt Hayes been talking some trash about you, telling you you ought to sit yourself down and stuff.
Yeah.
And as a member of the Black Hat Mafia, and your godfather, I order you to pimp slap him right now.
Well,
Paul,
first of all, Legend, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but first of all, you have to tell me who this guy is.
Oh, okay. I thought you knew. I'm sorry.
No. I don't comment. I made that mistake a week or two ago. I mentioned some reporter because it was in the form of a question. And my new lease on life is I don't crack back on aspiring young journalists like Matt Hayes.
All right. Well, let me do that for you then. All right. Woo! Let me tell you something, Matt Hayes. You a chump, dude. Tell him Paul Feinbaum to sit down. Listen, man. He's a member of the Black Hat Mafia, and you're a nobody, Matt Hayes. That's who you are. Crying on social media talking about Paul done kicked you out of the program. He probably forgot who you was and ain't never called you back if you ever was on the program, moron.
Oh, no. Hey, legend. Hold on a second. Because Matt Hayes is a contemporary of mine. We've grown up together. I think you're thinking of Matt Jones.
Matt Jones. Okay.
And the only reason I know Matt Jones is that I saw a wanted poster for him the other day at the post office.
Well, it's easy for me to get them Matts mixed up. But let me tell Kentucky something, Paul. And this is from the bottom of my heart, how disappointed I am with the basketball program at Kentucky. Because as far as I've been concerned, all of my life, Kentucky has been the Alabama Crimson Tide of basketball. They are the equivalent to what we are in football up until the last 10 friggin' years. Let me tell you something, Kentucky, and you take this to heart. One championship in 10 years at Alabama will get your ass fired. And that's what's wrong with your entire program. You worship this guy like he's some kind of king, and he's not a king. He's a Nick Saban recruiter, and he's a coach O coach when it comes to the X's and O's of college basketball. The dude can't coach. He can recruit, but he can't coach. And how long are y'all going to sit there and let this man lose to St. Peter's, the Wisconsin, simply because he can't coach? You are the friggin' Alabama Crimson Tide of college basketball. Fire this chump and get you a young and upcoming coach and put your program back where it was. I can tell you what his problem is. He simply can't coach. And when you wake up and realize it, you will know I'm telling you the truth. When he's gone, he will be considered a massive underachiever, somebody that did less with more better than anybody in the friggin' country. And that's the real truth, Kentucky. Matt Jones, shut your damn mouth. Don't never speak to the Black Hat Mafia again unless you're addressed. I wish I've never even got your name right. Now about something else on your social media, Paul. I seen where allegedly you was optimistic about the Auburn Tigers this year on Mac and Co. on 94.5. Is there any truth to that? Or is that just something Jamari or somebody wrote on your behalf?
Well, see, legend, we're in a weird situation now. If I could just talk to you as a fellow member of the club, where we are required to say something nice about everyone in August.
Well, let me break something down to you, Paul. Okay. I know you know this. But they got a Texas A&M reject quarterback at quarterback. Do you realize they don't have a pepperoni pizza at quarterback? They got a calzone at quarterback.
That is funny.
A calzone, Paul. Listen, Auburn, it's over. It's through. You're sad, disgraceful. At one time, our dirty little stepbrother, you lived down in the block. You lived in a nice duplex. But now you're a crackhead up under the byway. You're disgusting. You're sick. You make me sick. You're sad. Oh. It's over, Auburn. Friggin' forget it. And, Paul, one more thing. That Georgia fan was shocked yesterday when you said, Georgia ain't going to win. Oh, what? That's going to be you all year, Georgia. Shock. What? We still ain't on that level? What? I can't believe the Leprechaun can't get us there. That's it, Georgia. You're going to be shocked. Love you, Paul. Shut up, Matt Jones. Kentucky, Get you a real coach. Legend up.
Legend from the top row. Let's talk to BB in Arkansas. Hey, BB.
Hey, Paul. I was sitting here watching you and Legend. And Legend just hit the nail on the head about the Kentucky basketball, about Calipari.
Yeah, what do you think?
Calipari, you know, he was a great coach. And, you know, he may be still, you know, pretty good coach. But I think the program and basketball is going downhill, where the football program is coming uphill now. Stoops is doing a real good job of coaching their football team. And I wouldn't be surprised if they don't make playoffs either this year or next year.
Well, they're heading the right direction. Hey, BB, thank you very, very much. Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Paul. Long-time listener, first-time caller, and I appreciate your show. And,
thank you.
And all of your astute analysis. Paul, what I'm calling about is something for maybe the fans to kick around. Lord knows what they're going to say. I'm a retired school teacher up here in Huntsville, Alabama.
Sure.
We've sent a lot of good kids to both Auburn and Alabama. The kids play football. They work hard to keep their grades up. They got to learn their playbook, keep in shape. They do two-a-days when you and I remember what that was like back when we were a lot younger. I would like to see the Auburn fans and the Alabama fans, when those kids first take the field, when they first come out and the bands are playing and the smoke is puffing up through the gateways and everything, cheerleaders running on, that the fans on both sides stand up and clap for the kids that are coming onto the field. You know, we're kind of, with all this NIL stuff, we're getting so much into the business side of things. I would just like to let the kids know that we support their athleticism, their desire to win for their school and all that. Now once they're on the field and kickoff's had, you know, you're for your own side on that. I understand that. But why can't we as fans stand up and applaud those kids when they first come onto the field and pay our respects to them?
No, that's a really good idea, Brian. How long were you in the school system?
Well, I'm retired Air Force, and then I was a school teacher here for 12 years at Huntsville High School.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I've been retired.
Well, yeah. What a career. What are you doing in your retirement?
I'm a volunteer. Lord knows.
I like the sound of that. After those two careers, I can't imagine why you would I would think you'd want to do whatever you wanted to do.
Well, that's you know when you used to be in a service, member of the service,
right?
And it's the same way with school teachers and people in medicine. And the military, of course, and those who serve State Department, foreign service, all those folks who go overseas and do things. If you have a servant's heart, then that's what you do. You can't get away from it. Kids in foster care, free dental clinic here in town. There are a lot of needs out there, and we just need to keep our eyes open. There's that old expression that says, God has no hands but ours. So that's what
wonderful.
We have to do.
Well, Brian, thank you very, very much. What a distinguished career. We appreciate you joining us. We're up against a break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And let's continue here on a busy Tuesday afternoon. Maurice is up next in Texas. Hello, Maurice.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? I'm a big fan of your show. And listen,
thank you.
For the past week, I've been trying to get a hold of this show to ask you this one question, and you're the only one that's going to answer it honestly.
Okay.
Auburn, do you believe that Auburn thinks that they really messed up and let the bus guts go to Central Florida? It just seems to me that Auburn is in complete disarray. Brian Harsin is not a good fit for Auburn. It seems like everybody up on the program is trying to say the right thing. It just seems like that program is in disarray. And if it was me, I would go back. I would humble myself, and I would go back to Central Florida, to UCF, and I'd get the Gus Bus back because that's the only damn coach that can beat Alabama.
Well, you're right. I mean, Gus Malzahn had a great record against Alabama. The problem was that there was really concern that he was recruiting at an appropriate level. Now, let me also add, recruiting has gotten worse since he left. So I know that's a losing argument, but this will be resolved one way or the other pretty quickly. But Gus is not the answer.
Let me ask you this one question, Paul, before you go. Where the heck is Dan Mullen, and what's he going to do?
You know, I don't know. I mean, Dan Mullen's doing what he should do, and that's, you know, getting out of the public limelight and hiding under a rock, because he made such a mess out of a great situation that the best thing to do was to be forgotten about and then come back and hope hope nobody remembered the disaster that last season was.
Well, absolutely, Paul. Thanks so much for answering my question.
Thank you.
Love you, and be following your show this season.
Really appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Gil is up next in Alabama. Hello, Gil.
Hey, Paul. How are you this afternoon?
Gil, we are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I was calling. I'm a first-time caller. My brother Ron used to call your show a lot. I know more probably when you were in Birmingham, but he lives in Daphne.
Oh, okay.
He's got stage 4 cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And he doesn't have long to live, but he loves your show and he watches it every day, and I was hoping you'd give him a shout-out.
And Gil, you're talking about...
That'd make his day, Paul.
You mentioned his name was Rod?
Ron.
Ron, I'm sorry.
R-O-N,
Ron. Where did Ron call from? I'm trying to remember.
He used to call you from Huntsville,
okay.
And then they moved to Daphne. I think he called you from both locations, but I don't know that he's called your, you know, current show.
Well, first of all, I'm really glad you mentioned Ron. And, yeah, obviously you know it far better than I do, what he's been through. But I will say this to you, Ron. We will think about you, and I know this audience here there are a lot of prayerful people, and we'll offer you anything we can to make your life a little easier and more comfortable.
Well, thank you so much. He's a big Bama fan, and some of the former Bama players have reached out to him, and that's really making his day. We're hoping to get Coach Saban to call him, but so far, you know, with fall camp, I'm not sure that's going to be possible.
Well, here, Gil, stay in touch with us on that. And, you know, I know a lot of people down there have this program on in those offices. And I hope let me put you on hold and make sure we get your number in case we can communicate to the right people. And that way there's maybe a reasonable chance we can get that happening. Thank you very much for the call, and all the best to Ron. Let's check out James next in Kentucky. Hey, James.
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
We are doing great.
Okay, I just got two questions for you. The first one being, do you think that Alabama goes undefeated what they're saying now?
My inclination today would be yes. I think what I hear, I haven't seen them, what I hear about this team is that they're capable of being that good.
Okay, and the other one, does John Calipari turn it around?
Let me ask you to repeat that one more time.
Does John Calipari turn it around okay. this year?
Yeah, my belief is yes, and I thought he would do it last year too. Shows you how crazy the NCAA tournament is. But you know, he's had a couple of years of top five recruiting, and I'm not playing the law of averages because that's not how you win in college basketball. But you have to think he will get it done this year.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.